The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by IBM Watson, combining AI with Internet of Things data to help growers increase yields, improve quality, and drive sustainability. Crop conditions showed a bit of an uptick in yesterday's crop condition report from NASS, but the progress report showed the corn and the soybean crops are still way behind the normal development pace, and the markets are, whoa, is that right?
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Bill Biederman from AgMarket.net, then Representative Rick Crawford from Arkansas's 1st District. Then, just in case your morning coffee isn't quite enough, Todd Bubba Horowitz joins us in the fourth segment. Yeah, BubbaTrading.com.
Seriously?
We got the Bubster.
Did I know this?
We're going to start the day off with a dose of Bubba. All that and an update from the ladies' pick, Mike Opperman from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Okay, so you said the ladies' pick, and it makes me wonder if there's a Mike Opperman calendar in the dairies across America.
Ooh, you got to wonder that.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, Opperman lying in repose.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, he's talking on the phone with his feet up kind of behind him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Holding a milking machine. Mike, I'm sorry we joked.
That calendar might not be right for
It might
for
not
me.
Be. Yeah. Holy smokes, Dees corn.
What is going on?
Here we are. We're about 6.5 cents lower, but I'm telling you, that's a nickel off the low and about 7 cents off the highs.
Okay.
It's kind of a crazy trade that we've got going on today. Crop condition reports. Yes, it did show that 1 point uptick in the corn crop rated good to excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Showed that for corn, showed that for soybeans. We talked about that in the Pro Farmer Crop Tour podcast.
That's right.
That was available on profarmer.com yesterday. It'll be available this afternoon
mm-hmm.
on the new Ag Web.
Boom.
Yeah, on the new Ag Web. So, but then you look at the development pace of this corn and soybean crop, and I don't think people understand what this means.
Right, right. The silking numbers seemed very significant to me.
Oh, yeah. What was it? It was like 22%.
Yeah. And
was it even that much? I don't remember right offhand. Yeah.
It was less than half of the 5-year average, as I recall,
exactly.
By a few ticks.
Exactly. So
it's the takeaway.
It is really, really kind of a scary situation out there. And that has turned into our first guest this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Second guest, past the ladies' man, Mike. But our second guest this morning, Bill Biederman.
Yes.
And his group.
Mm-hmm.
They've been making all kinds of waves this morning in the markets.
Yeah. They did a cool thing.
Yeah. Very cool thing. And Bill's going to be here to talk about what they are doing at agmarket.net.
Yep.
We'll do that in the next segment. So looking forward to that. Go ahead.
Sounds great.
What's going on in the news?
All right, buddy. Well, the Office of Management and Budget report, they have finished their review of the market facilitation program. U.S. Undersecretary Bill Northey noted farmers could start getting payments as early as next month. President Trump hailed the approval of the $16 billion package as a win for his administration, saying, "We're going to help farmers out because they are great patriots. We're going to give them $16 billion, and we just did. Been approved, and I approved it." End quote. Chip, you're holding your head in your hands.
We don't even know how the payment's going to be calculated.
Well, yeah, that's kind of I didn't put that in the story, but yet details are still being ironed out. U.S. Secretary of Ag Sonny Perdue praised the Department of Labor's proposed update to the H-2A program, saying, yeah. quote, "The proposed rule will increase access to a reliable, legal agricultural workforce, easing unnecessary burdens on farmers, increase enforcement against fraud and abuse, all while maintaining protections for America's workers." The Labor Department said in a statement their goal in reworking the H-2A visa program was to simplify and streamline the process.
That's what we're going to be talking with Crawford about coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Negotiators, including Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and U.S. Trade Rep Bob Lighthizer, may travel to Beijing to continue trade talks if telephone conversations with Chinese negotiators this week yield fruit. But analysts are growing more concerned that China may delay resolving the conflict until the results of the 2020 presidential election are known. President Trump noted his relationship with Chinese President Xi Jinping has changed, saying, quote, "I used to say he's a good friend of mine, probably not quite as close for now." He continued, "He's for China, and I'm for the USA, and that's the way it's got to be." Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
The Office of Management and Budget is also reviewing the proposed RFS reset. The OMB has meetings scheduled this week and next week with biofuel advocacy groups, including the National Corn Growers Association and the National Biodiesel Board. A whole bevy of meetings going on up there at the OMB.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the friendship comment, you know.
Yeah, let's go back to that.
Yeah, it's good, but it's not as good as it once was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just now Toby Keith is running through my head. Are we seriously measuring? Are we seriously measuring how far along we are, how much progress we're making on the trade talks based on how well these guys are getting along?
How good of friends they are? You're saying that's a dangerous precedent? Is that not? Is it not going to work for international trade policy?
I'm saying it's freaking ridiculous.
You ready?
Yeah.
The Environmental Protection Agency has forwarded its final rule to repeal the Obama administration's controversial Waters of the U.S. rule with an eye toward replacing the rule by December. Sources say legal battles in regard to the WOTUS rule are, however, ongoing. And finally, the European Union says Iran's violations of the 2015 nuclear deal have not gone far enough to justify EU sanctions. Tehran has threatened to continue to increase the purity and quantity of enriched uranium it will produce if the EU does not help fill the gap left by U.S. sanctions. Iran also wants trade with the EU, which already includes food and medical supplies, to include crude oil. Chip.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Davis.
You bet.
Let's bring in Mike Opperman, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Mike, how you doing this morning?
Good. We got to wrap this up. I got a photographer coming over to do a quick photo shoot.
So. You know, I wondered if we, you know, I mean, you throw the idea out to a guy like Opperman and he's going to jump all over that.
Oh, yeah.
I've already Googled
There's
photographers in Fort Atkinson. So
gotcha.
Guy coming over.
Gotcha. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Let's talk trade since we were talking about how good of friends or
how
not
good friends they
good
are. How do you like me now, right?
Yeah, how do you like me now? Boy, there's another Toby Keith.
Boom.
Wow, you're good at this. How's things going on the dairy front as far as the exports go?
Value is up. World prices are up, which is good news. The problem is volume is down, and China, as you can imagine, is the big culprit. So July marks, 13 months since we've had Chinese tariffs. Dairy imports, dairy exports, I should say, to China are off 43%. Skim milk's down 70%. Whey is down 49%. Cheese is down 45%. So just think where we would be if we didn't have those tariffs.
Yeah.
You know, prices are bumping on $17 in the class three. If we didn't have those, you know, we'd be talking about a lot higher prices, I think. So it's certainly had an impact.
Yeah, the thing that I think is really discouraging there is, China isn't the absolute biggest market for U.S. dairy products, but it was a market that was getting bigger, and it was there was so much potential there, and now we've kind of shot that in the foot.
Yeah, and are we going to get that back when tariffs come back? Probably not, because China's buying from elsewhere. So it's going to be a long-term issue, that's for sure.
Yeah, that long-term issue has worked its way into several conversations now as we talk about the relationship between the U.S. and China. No question about it. Okay, well, I don't want to hold you up any longer. You tell I'm sure they're getting the flash all set up.
I got to pick out an outfit.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that. You know, it's all about the props.
It is.
It is. All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
Yep.
That is Mike Opperman, the editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about just how much of that Midwest corn crop might not be harvested. That conversation is with Bill Biederman from Ag Market Net. Up next on AgriTalk. With recent advancements in technology and more usable data being created than ever before, the future is bright for agriculture. The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture collects hyperlocal Internet of Things data to create an electronic field record that is deliverable on a scalable, security-rich cloud platform. The solution applies AI and predictive analytics to this data to generate actionable, field-specific insights that food companies, grain processors, produce distributors, and farmers can use to help improve crop management. At IBM, we help agribusinesses accelerate their journey to cloud and transform into cognitive enterprises by combining Watson AI with accurate weather and farm data to help growers around the world make better decisions about preseason planning, plowing, planting, spraying, and harvesting. To learn more, visit ibm.biz/agriculture.
Built over generations, the dairy is what gets you up in the morning and sometimes keeps you up at night. To say you're invested is an understatement. Merck Animal Health Brands have a 50-year history of providing the products dairy herds need to stay healthy. With innovation, passion, and integrity, we'll do what's right for your operation and for you. This is why Merck Animal Health works. Visit MAHcattle.com to see how Merck Animal Health can work for you.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on AgWeb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is your post office grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Dicon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Dicon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and...
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
That's just some solid production work right there.
It really is, but it makes me wonder if that's not a live look into the photo shoot that is happening.
You keep bringing it up.
I'm sorry. We need to jump right into this because I think we're going to need all the time. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. That's Davis. I'm Chip, and this is Bill Biederman from AgMarket.net. Bill, thanks for making time for us today. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Busy day.
What did you do, Bill? What did you do? Tell us about the project.
Yeah, well, we jumped in with both feet and spent a bucket of load of money, but I think it's a story that everybody needs to go see. We took airplanes and we flew over five states. Well, actually, we flew over a few more than that. But we flew from eastern Ohio all the way to Fort Dodge, Iowa, vertically, 3 to 4 passes every state, taking pictures every 25 miles. So we took 492 pictures, 157,000 acres of crops, 6,175 miles of fly time. And we're looking at pictures from Ohio and Illinois that were literally taking last Thursday and Friday. And they're eye-openers.
Okay. Taken last 492 pictures, taken over the five states, last Thursday and Friday. You said they're eye-opening. Why? Explain.
Well, some of these pictures were taken the week before July 4th, and then the others were the week after July 4th. We had to postpone the whole project, because we did test flights in Illinois before the 4th, and we couldn't see any crops. I mean, the amount of pictures, it wasn't worth the money spent, and we wanted to see the health of the crop. So we did the Western Belt first, and then we came back and did the Eastern Belt when the crop was out of the ground, and we could see the color of it, we can see the stand of it, we can see what's missing, the holes. And it's, you know, we've got an interactive map on agmarket.net, and you can click on the dots on the map, and it'll show you the picture that was taken where the plane flew.
Okay. Okay, so what is the goal here, Bill? What you're going to collect all this information, put it together, and the end result is what?
Well, the main story here, Chip, is to show the end users and the suppliers, the farmers, what kind of stress and what kind of challenge we have to get through this crop. And okay, you know, you can look at these pictures yourself and come up with, you know, a subjective yield estimate. We did that by state and by nation, and our numbers came out to be a 156 yield and about 4 million less acres than what USDA is looking at. So that would put our harvested acres at 79.62. Right. But that's really not the story. You know, I mean, that's a story because that's a 12-4 crop and we're using over 14 billion bushels. But that's really not the story here. The story is to look at these pictures and to digest the stage of the crop that we're in, which these were just taken, and knowing where it should be at this time of year, it's just unbelievable. We've sent out another email to our customers today that showed them a shot from Ohio, and then, it was southeast Iowa,
okay,
of Des Moines, and then we showed them the exact same field taken 10 years ago, the same within the same 10 days.
Yeah,
and it's just staggering.
Wow. Okay.
We're thinking, I mean, we've got to have a hot, wet season until this thing is all pollinated and ear set, and then it needs to go cool so that we get good fill. Otherwise, now, not too cool, right? I mean, if Drew Lerner is right and we get something in September that we don't even want to talk about, we could lose. I mean, we evaluated 9 million acres that would be at risk.
Right.
Of not making maturity.
Right.
And Chip, another thing is there was, let me just look. I think it was 12 or 13 million more acres that if it doesn't make it, it's going to be potential silage. It's, you know, we only need 6.
So,
that's 18.
So based on what I've heard you say so far, Bill, that 156 for a national average yield, that's kind of a best case scenario, because the growing season that you described after that is kind of a, if you could write the prescription, that's the prescription that you would write to make this crop as good as it could possibly be. So it's kind of a best case scenario on yield, and it sounds like the 79.62, based on the comment about a lot of this corn might not be harvestable or should be silage, that's kind of a best case scenario too.
Right. So our criteria, and we worked with a couple of professors at U of I about this, and our criteria was if you can count a stalk, count it as a crop. So that's what we went by. Now these stalks, we can zoom in and we can see a plant that's 7 or 8 inches tall.
Okay.
So if we could count that, we counted it as a harvestable crop, but we rated it good because the stand, we could count the populations. You'll see on that thing, we'll show you, I mean, you can go in here and look at it. There's, in our report, we blow it up so you can see where we actually counted the populations and estimated yields.
Right.
So if it had a good stand, we counted it as a good crop.
Okay. What have you done to confirm on the ground what you are seeing in the pictures?
Great, great question. So when we went out and we ran test flights, we wanted to see how do I identify what size the crop is and what stage it's in when we are seeing it from the air. So we went around the state of Illinois and Indiana, had a car go to those GPS coordinates and take another picture on the ground with a ruler to see where it was. So we got a pretty good handle on what an aerial looks like.
Okay.
Now, I want to scoot over to Western Iowa, because we were going by, it was either a big poultry or big hog farm, I don't know what it was, but there's a picture on our map in Western Iowa, and that crop looked like it's chest high. And I had a guy on the ground driving at the same time. He calls me up, he says, "Bill, I'm seeing the best corn I've seen on my whole trip." I said, "Yeah, it looks like it's about shoulder high." He goes, "Yeah." He says, "It's unbelievable." And then I sent him the aerial, and there's these huge holes out in the field that probably 10 to 20% of the crop.
Yeah. When I look at the maps and the pictures, I shouldn't say the maps, when I look at the pictures that you've got on agmarket.net, Bill, the thing that jumps out at me is the ability to identify the holes. And getting a better handle on, you know, even if they are 100%, even if you're going to call these fields 100% harvested, that we're going to harvest 100% of the acres, well, then you got to take 30, 35, 40, 60% off the yield in some cases because of all the holes that are out there. So I think that, that is
another thing we did
valuable.
Is we studied ag yield mapping comparisons to, you know, what a good crop, how it produces. And usually the dark green, fully grown vegetative state versus a kind of just a little tint of yellow, there will be a 100 bushel difference between that.
Right.
You go from 170 all the way up to 270.
Right.
Well, we're counting the majority of what we see as green, which has a lot of yellow spots in it, and we'll still count that as the good. So, you know, it's because there's not that much that's really the good this year. I mean, our yield would be, I think our yield is conservative. It's conservatively hopeful.
Oof.
But I'm not sure. I don't know what the weather's going to do. You know?
Well, yeah. Yeah. So the four categories that you're using, I think this is this is pretty telling. Just alone, you're using good, poor, very poor, and unharvestable this year, Bill. Where's the excellent?
Yeah, that didn't happen. So, yeah, in our report itself, you can see how we actually analyzed a couple pictures, because we'll circle what we count as good.
Right.
And if you go scroll back up to that ag yield map, you know, you can hardly see the yellow tints, and there's a 100 bushel difference in there.
Right. You going to do this again?
This was a huge, huge undertaking, financially and physically both. So I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, it depends on what the demand is for it. But
okay.
I think the real story here is a couple things. The take-homes that I see is the Farm Belt's in a lot of stress. I mean, I'm talking about the producer, the end user. Everybody's trying to figure out what to do. I think, secondly, there were a lot of decisions that were made. Maybe they were irrational. Maybe they're emotional. Maybe they were simply just a response to what came out of Washington regarding payments and policy. But if that's the case, then I think that those policy decisions or announcements that were made may have created an insurance peril, especially in the Eastern Belt, because if that crop doesn't make it to finish, that's going to be a huge, huge outlay.
Absolutely.
And then another thing is, how is that going to affect APHs,
right,
for the next couple years?
Yep, no doubt about it. Well, hey, Bill, I tell you what, it's quite the project. Everybody, go to agmarket.net. That's where you can get some more information on this. And third week of August, when we get done with it, Bill, you and I might have to sit down and take a look at about 1,400 ground truthing and yield samples and compare them to those pictures.
I'll tell you what. I think of all years, now seeing this,
Pro
Farmer.
Thanks, Bill. That Pro Farmer tour is important. Thanks, buddy.
Machinery Pete's having a huge summer unreserved online dealer auction in conjunction with Big Iron. Visit machinerypete.com/auction to start bidding now. Find that piece of equipment you've been looking for. Get yourself a great deal. Go to machinerypete.com/auction to see what's for sale. Every piece of equipment sells absolute. This is one auction you can't miss. Items are open for bidding now and close August 1st. Go to machinerypete.com/auction. Unreserved, lien free, no buyer fees. Start bidding now at machinerypete.com/auction.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Good grief, Beej. It feels like enough is enough in this corn market after the last 2 days.
Well, we're seeing a little bit of follow through here. We are trading mid-range, so we're down 5 to 6 cents, but you know, it is about mid-range on the day. Like I mentioned, the port closed yesterday. We got a slight uptick in crop condition ratings. The rains from Hurricane Barry, remnants from that, pushed probably a little bit more northward than what was anticipated yesterday into some of the central Corn Belt. And, you know, you combine all that and you end up with the follow-through selling today.
Yeah, and not only that, but there's some rains in the Western Belt that I don't think were all that expected, were they?
Some of those were anticipated, but they were expected to be further northwest in the belt. And so I think that just a little bit better coverage than what was anticipated.
Gotcha. Good news over in the livestock side is that we've got some strength going in hogs again.
Yeah, they're trying, you know. We do have the August contract that's kind of bobbing around unchanged. But when you get into the deferred contract, they are showing some strength. So that market's still trying to recover contra-seasonally from that recent lows.
Gotcha. What's going on in cattle?
You know, it's a struggle there just to find buyers. Waiting on the cash market to trade this week. We talked about it yesterday, but we have the cattle on feed, cattle inventory reports coming up at the end of the week. Just not a lot of buyers in there. You know, both those reports are going to show the numbers up from year ago levels.
Yeah, absolutely should show the numbers up. Thanks, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady right here on Markets Now.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor and AgriTalk market analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. That was a big task. That the guys at AgMarket.net took on.
And you could tell, I love that you asked him if he was going to do it again. You could tell that he really, really wanted to.
Yep.
But I can imagine the financial strain, the physical strain. It's a humongous project.
Absolutely.
To try and do something like
that. Absolutely. 2013, in July of 2013, I believe it was July 20th to be specific, I just went out for a drive up in northern Iowa,
right.
Southern Minnesota, because of all the Prevent plant. I came home, got on a plane, hooked up the GoPros, and went and took a bunch of video.
I remember
we did that on a weekly basis then for like 3 weeks in a row, trying to show the development of the crop and how quickly it was coming along. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to try to do that from the sky. It's not easy to try to do that with pictures. It takes some analysis. It takes some understanding of what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm glad to hear that they're doing the ground truthing to go with it.
Right.
492 pictures over five states. Yeah, that's a significant amount. Mm-hmm. In my book, that's a significant amount.
Yeah.
Is it 1,400 samples pulled over seven states? No. But 100, it's still a monumental effort. Mm-hmm. I'm taking nothing away from it.
No, absolutely
taking
not.
Nothing away from it.
Yep.
I think it's really good.
Yep.
Really cool. All right.
Let's bring in Congressman Rick Crawford from the 1st District of Arkansas. He joins us right now. Congressman Crawford, I told you that if I could, we were going to get you on again real soon, because the feedback from the last time that you were on, Congressman, was excellent. They love the straight shooting that you're doing.
Oh, good.
Yes, yes, yes. So the last time you were on, by the way, we were talking about broadband accessibility out there in rural America and your efforts to help on that. Is there any update that we can get from you on that?
Yeah, I think my concern on this has been that the marketplace would outpace the government's ability to address this demand. And that's the great thing about living in America. It's a great thing about living in a capitalist society, in that, you know, we can do so much in the private sector that if we rely on the government to do it, we'll be waiting a long time. Not that it won't get done, but it may take longer to get done. Might not be as efficient. What we're seeing now is a space-based service by SpaceX, yeah, that we anticipate being online in 2020. They've already got some beta testing going on right now in the northern reaches of North America and, you know, Canada, the northern tier of the United States. And as those satellites go online and complete that mesh network, we're going to see broadband access. It's the low Earth orbit constellation of satellites that will provide. It makes no difference whether you're in, you know, Chicago or, you know, Mountain View, Arkansas. You still have equal access, same bandwidth up and down, and the same packages available regardless of where you are at a good price point. And I think that's a great way that the free market is addressing the needs of not just of rural America, but, you know, broadly the whole country, and how we can enhance Internet access.
Huh. Yeah. Are you telling me that capitalism might work?
I'm telling you, I believe 100% in capitalism. Absolutely.
Which brings me to something that I didn't know if I was going to bring it up, but it's a nice segue to it. What is, Congressman, there is no way that unless you are a congressman, unless you are a representative, that we can understand what appears to be a high level of tension in the House. Can you describe it to us? What's going on right now?
Well, you don't have to be a congressman to not understand what's going on here, because I don't understand it myself. I mean, you know, you have what appears to be a small group of people that are essentially have assumed the role. I mean, they've got the tiller and they're steering that ship, I think, in the wrong direction. And, you know, quite frankly, it bothers me. It worries me. I understand we all have different perspectives and different viewpoints, but we are just at a capitalist society. We've done so much as a result of capitalism, and we don't always have to agree on everything, but I think we can agree on that this marketplace is a great thing. It's done so much to transform the world, and certainly the good things associated with what the United States has done and been able to bring to the world. Why would you want to hinder that? Why would you want to make that more difficult? I very rarely do you see people in the United States fleeing the oppression of capitalism to embrace socialism, like, say, people moving in mass to Venezuela. Yeah. It almost never happens. In fact, I can't think of one documented case where we've actually seen people fleeing the oppression of capitalism to embrace socialism or communism. It usually is right the other way around.
Right.
And so why they have that approach and that belief is beyond me. We can disagree on funding levels. We can disagree on some social issues. But in the end, capitalism is a huge liberating force for good. Mm-hmm. And I think people should just recognize that.
Yeah. I'm kind of forming a thought, but, you know, Congressman, in the House of Representatives, what we want, I think, is a voting public is for the members of the House to be able to share their differences without the fear of ridicule based on sexism or racism or any ism. And we just don't see that right now. And it's for the first time in a long time. I'm the guy that watches from the outside, Congressman, and says, geez, can you believe what they did today? Can you believe that? Can you believe? for the first time, I'm looking at it and saying, I cannot believe what they did today.
I'm the guy watching from the inside asking the same question. Wow. I mean, I agree with you. I think at the very least, we ought to have a level of discourse that is not based on which side of the political aisle or where on the political spectrum you reside, but more about what do we do together to try and advance the country, what's good for the country, and how can we find the things that we agree on first, and then we can argue over the other things second. And, I mean, there was a time when, you know, like you know, Ronald Reagan said, somebody agrees with me 80% of the time is my friend.
Yep.
And we have sort of lost that, and we've devolved into an identity politics-based political dynamic that makes it very, very difficult, you know, and this whole idea of you're either for me or against me type thing, you know, it makes it very, very difficult to maneuver. There's a lot of things we can do that together that we can agree on. I mean, I've got an example.
And if you're against me, Congressman, I'm going to make other people question your morals.
Right. It's exactly right. I'm going to challenge your integrity.
Yes.
Challenge your motive. Because what's most important is that you believe you agree with everything that I say, and if you don't, I'm motivated now to essentially destroy you politically.
Right, right.
Congressman, that's the environment that we're operating in, and so you know you don't have to be sitting on the sidelines to be able to observe that. I'm seeing it up close, and I've got a front row seat, and I see it every day. That look, and it's not confined to one side or the other. Quite frankly, I mean, if we're being honest about it. This dynamic exists in both conferences, and you know, in on my side of the aisle, 99% purity is a failing grade.
Yep.
I mean, you know, we got to go home and explain ourselves to an electorate that demands perfection, and there is no such thing as perfection on this earth.
Yep.
And that makes it a very, very difficult tightrope to walk.
Okay, we need to jump to this as quickly as we can here. The Straw Act.
Mm-hmm.
It's seeking some remedies on the shortcomings of the H-2A guest worker program. What's the status there?
Well, we're hoping we get more support. This has been something we wrote this based on feedback. When I first got here, we started working this. The Straw Act, as it was called, short-term retention of agricultural workers. We've now changed the name for political reasons because people are so averse to plastic straws. We didn't want people thinking that we were trying to ban straws or to try to retool legislation to address plastic straws. So we changed it to the AgRight Act, which is Agricultural Guest Worker Reform Initiative. So it's now called the AgRight Act. And the reason I mention that is this conversation we were just having. We had to change the name of a good piece of legislation so as not to invoke the wrong imagery. But anyway, basically what this bill does, it replaces the H-2A with a more workable program, takes it out of the Department of Labor, puts it into the USDA, provides protections for both the workers in the ag world as well as the employers. We're having all kinds of problems with H-2A. It's a liability to those farmers who use it. It's expensive, and it creates a lot of legal problems for them. In fact, you know, we've kind of put our farmers into an untenable position of, you know, working within the existing framework, which costs them a heck of a lot of money and puts them into a regulatory network that is even legally challenging for them, or doing this under the table and using undocumented labor, and when that's wrong on multiple fronts. And really both scenarios are bad and unworkable for the American farmer. So what we're trying to do is give them a way around that through a more meaningful reform of the current situation. Yeah. So we think that the FSA offices are much more attuned to the needs of agriculture producers in any given part of the country. So we think it makes more sense for that program to reside in the USDA and under the oversight of the FSA. We obviously are concerned about security. E-Verify could be used, but E-Verify has proven to not be a very effective tool. And, you know, when we're talking about a need to retain these workers and have the same crew coming back year after year, because many times farmers have trained their crew, they develop a rapport, relationship with their crew, and they want to keep them coming back. And this bill helps do that. It helps retain that workforce so that you don't lose over time. You don't lose that skill that you have to remediate every time you get a new set of workers. in on your farm. Right. It lowers the cost of ag labor that's more reflective of the marketplace. The bill eliminates the adverse effect wage rate, which arbitrarily, by the way, assigns wage rates from statistical surveys that really have no relevance in the place of employment.
Okay.
Allows those employers to offer a market-based wage.
Congressman, we've got to go. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erased generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have ARC County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is your post office grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Dicon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Dicon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist. What do you call someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst. A person who studies DNA? A geneticist. A person who owns their own business? An entrepreneur. Who researches markets? An economist. And who handles employees? An HR manager. Someone who keeps devices up to date? A software technician. Someone who does business internationally? A global trader. Someone who transfers assets from one generation to the next, an estate planner. And someone who does all these things, you call them a farmer. Because being a farmer is the one job that requires dozens of other jobs. And at Pioneer, we're proud that our job is to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
I'm Andrew McCray, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast that's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Okay, so I finished the conversation with Crawford there. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip, that's Davis.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about the segment that we've got here with Bubba, Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba?
What's up, guys? You found Davis? I saw
hey.
I'm glad he's back.
Absolutely. So, Bubba, we talked with Congressman Crawford about the dysfunction of the House. You've got the squad that is running roughshod over the establishment in the Democrat Party. They're a burr under Pelosi's saddle. And I'm telling you, I look at a 27,000-plus Dow, I look at a 3,000-plus S&P, and it must be exactly what the markets want. They must want a situation in D.C. that is so dysfunctional that nothing changes.
Well, I mean, that's really always been the case, but the key here, Chip, is the cheap money. And as long as the cheap money keeps coming, they're going to keep buying it because, again, you have forced every investor that wants to invest to try to get yield and not guaranteed yield, but somewhat of a dividend or whatever, there's only one place in the world to go right now. That's the United States stock market. So the squad can do what they want. They're ridiculous. I didn't want to get into it because I'd probably get beeped about 500 times talking about it. But the what's going on in Washington, as long as the free money comes, they're going to focus on the cheap money. And as you saw this morning, when retail sales came out, the market fell hard for a moment because there's afraid that the news is too good, so maybe the Fed won't cut rates. And that's the whole deal.
See, let's make sure that everybody understands what happened there, Bubba. Because retail sales, that's kind of the heart of a strong economy. That's kind of the heart of revenues for these companies out there. They got good retail sales data. And the stock market set back for a short period of time because it was concerned that we're not going to cut rates? Seriously?
That is 100% the fact. Okay, this is the warped Wall Street world, okay, that cheap money. See, what the cheap money does is, first of all, it allows companies to buy back their stock. Okay, so they instead of paying out a 3% or a 3.5% dividend, they borrow the money at 3 or 3.5%, and they buy their own stocks. They no longer are responsible for the dividend. They've accumulated their own stock, which pushes stock prices higher, has less of a float. It's a whole big game that is played. And of course, as long as if you have the ability now, unfortunately, guys like you and me don't have the ability to get a hold of that cheap money because we can't get the liquidity from the banks. But the big guys, they'll get all they want. And they'll just keep reinvesting it because if you're a Caterpillar, for example, and you know that for every dollar you can take in that you can borrow, you can bring back, you know, a 30% profit. Well, you're going to borrow all the dollars you can. So this is what's going on right now with the economy. The economy is not in as good a shape as we think it is, in my opinion. I think we're in the very early stages of a recession. However, the numbers are very good. But right now, every trader and every big firm is focused on, we got to lower rates. We got to get rates lower so we can keep this cheap train going, because as long as rates stay low, that keeps the banks from not lending and it allows the overall system to keep going in only one place, the equity market.
So what you described there is a very low inflationary environment, right?
It's low, except if you're a farmer and you got to pay for fertilizer and fuel.
Well, I get that.
In general, it's a low inflationary environment, but you know, because of the backwards way that government counts inflation, You know, yep. They say that food and energy is too volatile. Well, it's not too volatile considering you do the report every month. So if it changes month to month, our inflation can go up and down. I'm sure you're paying more at home for your bills, and I'm sure everybody on this that's listening is paying more. So, yeah, inflation is down for computers that you buy every 5 years, or refrigerators that you buy every 10. But for normal stuff that you buy all the time, it's higher. And this is where the rub's going to come with this ridiculous Phillips curve they talk about.
But that ridiculous Phillips curve that they talk about and the low inflation, are they gonna cut rates this month?
Yes. They're only gonna cut 25 basis points. Now this is the big problem with this, Chip.
Are rates going back to zero?
They may go to negative. You know, think about this. Okay, here's the problem. If we stay and we ever have a problem. Now, again, I think we're close. Now, again, the problem could be a year from now, but we're going to have a problem. We're going to have another problem. You and I both know that. I mean, it's just part of markets, right? It happens in every market. So there's going to be a big problem. So what's going to happen is if the Fed starts cutting now, okay, then when there is a real problem, they're going to be forced to go negative. And that's going to be the real issue that affects everything here. So hopefully Jerome Powell will wake up and get out of that academia, you know, theory plan and figure out what real life is about and know that there's a huge demand for money if it could be accessible by the normal guy. And they could actually lend out at higher rates. But if they don't, then it's going to be a much
problem. Way too much pressure coming from the White House for him to step into reality on this.
No. He'll stop. I got news for you. If it wasn't for the president, he might have lowered rates already. The Chairman Powell is the most powerful man in the world. He's more powerful than the president because he controls the money. I mean, they can't force him to do anything. You know, the so-called rub is that the Fed is a private organization, which it kind of is, right? It really is a private corporation. But they don't have to succumb to anybody's pressure. All right, they only come to the pressure of the markets. Again, every president since the Fed was started, this broken down garbage organization, has been at the Fed to lower rates. Every president, doesn't have to be Trump. Every president since 1906 has been after the Federal Reserve to cut rates.
That's exactly true.
So, I've only got
30 seconds left for you, Bubba. I got to ask the setback in the grains. You too concerned?
Love it. I'm buying. Buy them.
Buy more, baby. Buy more.
I think this is perfect. I'm looking for $9 in beans. I'm looking for about $4.20, $4.25 in corn, and we'll be reloading up the wagon again because I think this is exactly the action you and I talked about last Wednesday that we're expecting.
It is. It is. That's exactly right. Bubba, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you
Have
again
a great
soon.
Yes,
all right.
Thank you.
Yep. Actually, we'll talk to Bubba tomorrow afternoon.
Yes.
We'll get a quick hit from Bubba in tomorrow's second hour of AgriTalk. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks to Bill Peterman for bringing the details of a really cool project.
Solid show, top to bottom.
That they are working on. And thanks to Congressman Rick Crawford. I mean, he shared what's going on there. I thought that was really cool. Come back this afternoon. We got Chris Robinson from the Cow Guy Group. Tomorrow morning, Farmer Forum. Greg from Nebraska, Gene from Missouri.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by the IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, leveraging unique data, analytics, and predictive insights to help growers make more informed, confident decisions.